been an interesting dynamic, really, that those two players in particular have become really the main backers of the organization, in opposition to almost every other major Sunni power in the region. Against all the other Gulf states, the Jordanians, the Egyptians, obviously, and they've held fast, and they have kept their alliance structures. And it's only been really in the last couple of days where Qatar has actually had to back down and order some Muslim Brotherhood members out of the country. But basically, both countries saw moderate Sunni Islam as a political force, that if you remove the dictatorships that were present in the region in 2011, would be the natural follow-on from basically what was considered sort of secular, non-religious dictatorship, that the region was moving more Islamist, it was moving more politically Islamist. Obviously, they are home to Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi as well, who is the spiritual leader of the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Qataris basically felt that they had the money, the resources, and the political connections to make it work. And they found in Turkey a willing ally that saw the region in a vaguely similar way. The trouble is that I think their vision for the region has come very badly unstuck, and they're now having to reappraise what it means to support the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yes, Michael, I mean, Qatar has seen a number of its regional foreign policy initiatives fail and is retreating from a region which has grown distrustful of it. Turkey has also had a troubled foreign policy, and so its relationship with Doha is possibly a welcome highlight. But does that make for a long-lasting relationship together? I mean, is this based on, do they share the same goals, or is that just a reflection of current politics which may not last?
In my view, I think it's a bit of a marriage of convenience. I think that Qatar's goals for the region ultimately are not the same as Turkey's. Turkey is a regional power. It has been for decades and will be for decades. Qatar is a much smaller player, which has sought to assert its interests across the region on the back of the Arab Spring and through being the sort of intermediary, if you like, between various competing powers, whereas I think Turkey has a much longer-term view of the stability of the region, particularly given that it borders Syria. Qatar doesn't have a border with Syria, so it's not actually directly interested in things like the security of the Syrian question. It's just a topic that it likes to delve into, whereas for Turkey, this is an existential crisis. So they actually have very, very different outlooks on some very different issues, but particularly the issues with ISIS. The failure of the Muslim Brotherhood strategy in Syria affects those two countries in very different ways. So at the moment, in my view, I think it's a marriage of convenience. I don't think it can last. But, you know, they seem to be sending out all the right messages that today they are the best of friends.
Joseph Dana, our bureau chief in Istanbul. Both countries are friendly with Washington. Yes, that friendship has been tested in recent months with their support for Hamas. Why have they been so willing, do you think, to risk their friendship with that support?
Well, I think it really goes back to their perceived position in the region, as Michael was describing, the fact that especially Turkey wanted to position itself as a very dominant kind of new regional player at the beginning of the Arab Spring. And so they really kind of doubled down and hedged their bets on the Muslim Brotherhood, especially the Muslim Brotherhood in power in Egypt, and decided that they were going to try and reshape the regional alliances. And that's whenever you start doing that type of thing in this area of the world, Washington is going to get increasingly concerned and sometimes angry. Now, when it comes to the Palestinian issue, in Turkey specifically, the Palestinian issue has become one of the major foreign policy objectives for the Turkish government under Erdogan. In fact, it's really taken over other foreign policy considerations. And so whenever there's major problems happening vis-a-vis ISIS or vis-a-vis Iraq or anything like this, you see the Turkish government really ramp up its rhetoric in support of the Palestinians and in support of Hamas. And so this is definitely a long-burning issue that has very much angered Washington. And so now we're starting to see a bit of pushback, you know, against the regional players that are supporting Hamas.
And Joseph, just to stay with you for a moment, this is quite important for Turkey, this relationship, especially, I suppose, because they're set to get a lot of natural gas from Qatar. And I'm also wondering if Turkey would like a little bit of a slice of the Football World Cup in the future as well from Qatar.
Well, that very much could be the case in terms of the Football World Cup. Turkey very much tried to get the Olympics in Istanbul and failed, and that's part of their kind of international branding strategy. But when it comes to energy concerns, I think this is really what's kind of greasing the wheels of this relationship from the Turkish perspective. Turkey is very good at having its long-term energy kind of goals realized. In this announcement that they're going to buy a huge amount of natural gas from Qatar over the next couple of years is going to help Turkey basically establish itself as this energy conduit that it's been trying to be for many years. And so that natural gas will satisfy Turkey's internal demand, which is very, very high. It's a very big country that is famously devoid of natural resources. It will satisfy that internal demand while allowing Turkey to continue to develop its export capabilities, specifically in the realm of Kurdish oil from northern Iraq. And so this is a long-term theme that always has to be in the picture when you look at Turkey's regional and diplomatic connections, and it very might well kind of solidify and cement a long-lasting relationship and partnership with Qatar.
Michael Stevens, let me come back to you in Doha and ask, how far up the agenda will ISIS be in these talks?
Very much near the top. They both, Turkey and Qatar, received a lot of flack in the press, and I would say, quite frankly, from pro-Israel right-wingers in America, for funding ISIS, supporting ISIS, aiding and abetting ISIS. I mean, there's been all sorts of accusations made. At the same time, I think both of them have, through their own regional strategies and their own choosing of certain Syrian allies, caused some of the problems that we've seen. So, given that there's been a lot of pressure from very sort of, let's say, frustrated Western supporters and backers who during 2012 and 2013 were definitely behind Qatar and Turkey, there has to be a rethink of the policy. I think if you look at the Turkish position, they are now extremely worried about the potential for ISIS to strike back at them. And, of course, there's these 45 Turkish diplomats in Mosul. The Qataris, for their part, are trying to be helpful and useful in terms of releasing hostages from inside Syria that have been held by Jabhat al-Nusra, which is the al-Qaeda affiliate. And they're also trying with the ISIS hostages as well to try and get involved there, but they don't have so much leverage. But I think both of them have been burned quite badly by the rise of ISIS. I think they're both trying to come up with some kind of strategy to counter that. And also, I think, to tell the world, well, hey, you know, yes, we've made mistakes, but we're not actually guilty of some of the crimes that you've accused us of.